We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting for November 15th, 2023, to order at 8:45 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation. Haxby, Schuler, Teeman, Dorn, Swavely, and Lytle. First is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held November 1st, 2023. Approve all claims through November 15th, 2023 in the amount of $547,952.56. Accept claim number 23110205. To RL Team and Construction in the amount of $29,692.24 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve receiving the 2023 distressed warrant listing. Approve District Court Summary Fee Report and Register of Deeds Fee Report for the month of October 2023. Approve EMS 1-year extension agreement and authorize the chairman to sign. I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented, unless there are any items you'd like to pull off or change.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 23110205 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $20,692.24 for gravel and hauling. This would bring the total amount of claims paid to $577,644.80. This is a company I'm involved with.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn. Any discussion?
They're going to keep producing gravel?
Where at?
You're getting it from Columbus, ain't you?
Yes. Until it freezes.
Until it freezes. That might not happen.
Might not. Keep your fingers crossed. Please vote. 5 in favor with Team abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Anyone may comment on any matter that is not on the agenda. Good morning. Please give your name and address for the record.
You bet. Mitch Baum, 10640 County Highway D20, Alden, Iowa.
We won't swear you on this time, though.
All right. I'll swear to tell the truth. Guys, thank you for having the board meeting as you do. I'd just like to ask for a motion from the board to reconsider our application from this previous board meeting for the Gage Island Grove 25 site. I think everybody is well aware of the site, its placement, how we've met and exceeded the zoning regulations in your county. I believe there's been numerous opportunities for a number of you board members to come visit the site in northern Gage County that we're under construction now, as well as the site that was proposed and is being proposed that you voted on at the previous board meeting. A number of you, I don't believe, have been to the site or the site during construction, and think it'd be a real opportunity if you would kindly make a motion to reconsider, allow the additional conversation and information to be shared with us and with you to make an informed decision that certainly this project meets and exceeds the current regulations of Gage County zoning requirements. So with that, here to answer any questions, but would really ask you to consider this opportunity to make action on this site.
And I will say in public comment, we can't ask questions or
you
confer
bet.
Back and forth.
I respect that. 10-4. Thank you.
Thanks. Would anyone else like to speak at public comment? If not, just as a matter of process, if you would want to make a motion to reconsider, it has to be by our rules, Rule 16. The specific item would be on this CAFO. There'd need to be a motion to reconsider at the last meeting or this meeting, made by one of the three on the winning side, which would be Lytle, Dorn, and Haxby. That could be seconded by anyone. And then we would figure out exactly what route we would go from there. Committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights. Mr. Swavely.
Not a lot going on. We did, David talked on Monday morning about putting the other city street lights on the north side and west side. The winter lights committee asked for an updated quote. David has gotten that all done as far as securing the lights, what it takes to put them in for the electricity and everything else, has presented that or sent it to the Winter Lights Committee to them to decide. Other than that, the only thing that we have going on is that the heat pump on the south side is bad, and that's he's got a quote to have that replaced, and we're going to do that, I think. But other than that, I don't think there's anything major going on with the
they're turning the lights on Sunday night, right?
Yes, Sunday night they light the lights.
The 19th?
Yes.
5:30?
Oh, I think that's the time. I'm pretty sure it is.
I'm not positive either. I think it's...
You aren't a speaker this time, are you?
I don't actually know.
No, well, they were going to ask somebody else, okay?
Okay.
And so...
They got tired of him.
No, I don't know if they got tired of him or not. There's a meeting this afternoon or at lunchtime today, Winter Lights Committee, and they're going to start bagging the candy for the kids. So I'll go down and help with that when the time comes, okay? So,
Dave, if I am speaking, would you let me know?
Yes. I go to it, but I'm not a...
Write his speech for him, Dave.
Yeah, sure.
He'll read it word for word.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Dave. Equalization, we heard a quick overview of things from Patty. Farm ground could be a 20% increase. Looks like across the board, commercial, residential, industrial, and ag will all be seeing large increases in valuation again. Finance and insurance, Ms. Haxby.
Big ticket items. Boy Scout troop, $11,000. Jones Automotive, $15,619.92.
What was that?
I'm trying. I can't. Terry's better at this. Washington County Sheriff's, $13,950. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel for Rock and Gravel, $11,368.89. Metal Culverts for Culverts, $18,948.92. RL Team & Construction for Gravel and Hauling, $29,692.24. Youth Recreation for Hannibal Park Improvements, $40,000.
Thank you, Ms. Axby. Human Resources, Employee Relations. Everything seems to be semi-smooth. We'll... keep moving forward on things there. I think we would like to do some type of employee recognition dinner again. There was a gap in years where we didn't do that, and I think that was really popular with the employees. There were multiple employees that were recognized for how many years of service. We're an unusual entity where we have people that still start and stay, some of them a lifetime. Remember, we just had Diane Wells retire, and she was at 49 and a half years. Not common, but I think that'd be a good thing to move forward with again. Thank you, Don, for you and your girls putting that together for us this last time in short order.
Yeah, we could get moving on the next one.
Law Enforcement Emergency Management, Mr. Lytle.
Lisa, you got anything for emergency management?
Sure. Good morning, everybody. I think I shared with you during the committee meeting that the Lower Big Blue NRD and the Little Blue NRD, it's time again to work on that hazardous mitigation plan. It was submitted, the preliminary notice of interest was submitted to the governor's selection committee, and it was selected as priority. So this will involve a nine-county area, but then it also, there's 91 agencies that will be a part of that. In our county, it will be all the villages, the city of Beatrice, city of Wymore, We'll also have SCC as a part of that. In addition to, we have some rural fire departments that have separate boards that will be a part of that too. So we are, as we were notified last week of being able to move on to the next step, you'll see that happen. Unfortunately, when we say it's time again for the plan, even though it's not quite up, by the time you get your bid process in and so forth, you have to start two years in advance. So, yeah, we have begun that process and moving on. But the important part is the Governor's Selection Committee realizes that the hazardous mitigation plan is very, very important to the communities. If they ever want FEMA funding for improvements, you have to be – it's a checkbox, you know, but it has vital points for public health and safety. So as far as – zoning is concerned, we are moving forward with plans for a selecting a date for the next hearing. We do not have that confirmed as of this morning. We're trying to coordinate that meeting time. This will be on a communications tower, which will be owned by Horvath Communications, and it will be over by the Tri-County area on the Kamek ground there. And the first carrier on that will be Verizon, as they have given us the paperwork for that. So we'll know a little bit more. Hopefully by the next couple of days we'll have, you know, a schedule confirmed, and then the application should hopefully be through the review process to get that out in the public then. But, again, so that's really all I have right now.
And you're moving forward with talking with the hospital and John Deere on a additional siren.
Yes. So the need really, as the city of Beatrice advances north, the nearest north siren for tornado awareness is located right by the sale barn. And so when I put out for a sound test on DBAs and so forth, there's a void as we move north. And so I got some preliminary costs and so forth on placing a siren there. I've been working with some partnerships, but along with the city of Beatrice where we could put that. The cost overall in the end probably is going to be around that $35,000 range. I did put it in my budget with the hopes of having some partnerships come on board with helping also suffice that cost. I have looked at mitigation funding right now. It's 3 years out, basically, for sirens. Many communities are now just going to your tornado, your weather boxes, you know, and there's still a huge impact when you look at the activity at the hospital with, you know, now all the clinics and so forth moved out there. That is meant to be an outdoor alarm, not an indoor, but yet you have a lot of activity that, you know, ranges out there, especially 24/7. So, and that would cover quite a bit. That would go up basically with the DBAs that are being projected to Case IH or to the truck stop. Was how it preliminarily looked, and then would fill that gap to the south and then also to the west. So nothing's confirmed yet. It's just a matter of working with some partnerships now. So, but
that's an additional siren, not replacing one. It's an additional, correct?
No, it would be an additional one. It would be hooked into the same frequency, timed out as the same frequency whenever the impact of the northern part of Gage County, you know, was activated off of the same frequency.
Do we need any special permits for that every time we do anything with any noise?
Not the noise. There will be some airport reporting and so forth. We'll have to do a 7160, but I'm still working on the location for sure before I move forward. Anything within a 5,000 foot setback of the airport runway has to have certain paperwork that's done for height and so forth. So nothing unusual, but then yet, you know, still reaching out. So my goal is to have that hopefully confirmed here by January, and then move forward with March. So,
is the hospital interested in
participating?
Yes,
they are. They are. Taking into special consideration, though, there is a sensitivity level, you know, in the care side of things where you don't want it too close, you know, for healing purposes and just, you know, alarms, so forth. So, yes, I have talked with their management. They're confirming kind of what they want. They feel better about, you know, getting a little bit further away, not on their particular site, but yet still being, you know, within range. So, yep.
Owen, did you remember I'd said something to you about a card, whatever my My card is expired 5 years ago.
You need a picture. You need to stop down and we take your mug shot.
I've got someone that called for an address, too. Do you do those still?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I will get you that address as well. And then I said, because that's for everyone needs to have their blue tag in front of their house so that first responders can get their ambulance, fire, things like that. So that's very important to have that.
It is extremely important for community awareness, especially if someone's just traveling the road and sees something unusual. If you do call into 911, usually that lat long will show up on the CAD system, but yet you have those that, you know, you still can confirm that with, you know, if you see an actual visual sign. So many people are seeing the importance of that, that they found that they removed it for, you know, their own purposes, but now they want it back. So that concept's changing just a little bit more. So, but thanks.
No.
Sir, please just sit there and be quiet.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Being Lisa just here, I just had this come up this last week, so it's newsworthy, I guess. When they call in sometimes on 911, depending where you're at, is what tower it hits. We had a burglary in progress down south. They hit the tower for Marysville, and they had to call up here. And they're a little frustrated about that, and I said, whatever signals the closest and best is what you're going to get. I called in a fight on North 27th in Omaha, and I got Beatrice. Right in Lincoln, I mean, we get Beatrice. It just depends if they get that, so they understand that's how that works. Anyway, what you have in front of you is the 2-week period, October 29th through November 11. I won't sit and bore you with that because I got some other ones on the agenda coming up later to give you some idea. One thing I will point on here, we told the school that we will hold off on announcing this until.
Hold on. Sheriff, are you going into your report or just a committee report?
This is just committee. I'm on agenda for later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I want to mess up the agenda for Don.
I'm just telling you.
I thought you were going to tell him no more cars. Like, there was a no and then more cars.
Oh, yeah, well. So, anyway.
I thought you were going to say no more toys.
Here we go. So, we did get someone selected for the school resource deputy, and that's going to be Deputy Hager, Mike Hager. Been with me about 4 years. We've been trying to hit the schools pretty hot and heavy this year in the mornings and then the afternoons. They see somebody anyway, and he'd been one of them doing that. So his training will be scheduled, I think, sometime here coming up in first week or two of December and get through on that. So that's a public announcement I'll make right now so they have that, and then we'll kind of hit the road. And I think schools are getting a little excited about getting this off the ground and going, so I hope it works out well for us. Anything else there just for you to kind of cruise through and take a look? Nothing too terrible exciting, just updates on a few things and all that. So unless there's any questions I can answer, I'm free to do it this time. If not, I'll back up later.
As far as the resource officer, I'm assuming that you've been in contact with each of the superintendents, kind of getting it organized.
You see them, I think, all the time probably when he's in there.
Are we looking at having a space in each one of the schools that's going to be an office, so to speak, for our resource officer? How are you looking to do that?
Once he's established, he's up and running now, he'll be going around. Those things will work through. Where can I have for an office? I have to ring someone in there and talk to, things like that. That's the many things that our schools have never been used to that, so it's going to be a little transition for everybody on how that works. But that's certainly one of the things we'll be looking at is where they can.
So they are aware and working on it then. Okay, cool.
I'll be talking to him for sure. So
good.
Be a lot of things there, but it should be a good program. So,
do you want to talk about this Faith in Blue organization?
Okay, let's see. Faith in Blue. Yeah, Sergeant Hansen was working on that there. We had been in contact a long time ago, and I think it's a faith-based organization that works a lot with law enforcement. And probably as far as that goes, it goes with first responders, but they try to get them involved with a lot more public events, which we do a lot of those ourselves, but they apparently picked certain communities out across the country, and we were one of the few that picked out, and guess what? We're going to know a little further down the road what all is involved that they're wanting from us. But I was kind of surprised they picked us out, everybody, but that's a good thing, too, I guess. So I don't know a lot on it right now, Eric, because it's right starting off the get-go. So as we go along and we find something out, we can certainly talk about it. So,
any changes we can see coming up to dispatch or anything?
Well, funny you should say that. I don't see anything right now. I was surprised that somebody didn't get a call, but I guess we'll just let's see how things go. I guess that's enough for right now. The rest will probably be closed session later, but that's, as far as I know, I haven't been contacted about nothing, so we'll see where it happens.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Thank you.
Are you saying we need a closed session today?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Just wait and see. What he's requesting, or questions, I thought it was better to do it later, some other time that's not open meeting. What's going on down there at the PD? Because I really don't know anything.
Okay.
Well, somebody contacted one of you guys.
It's confusing me.
What was the last statement you made?
I'm talking a sidebar. Okay. Then if you do want to do something before I leave, we can do that too.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Thanks.
Do you want Road and Bridge?
I have this part.
Miss Haxby, Road and Bridge.
There you go.
talked about what the dirt crew and the asphalt crew are working on, clean bridges, and they did a salt run. They discussed the state line bridge, where, when, how it could be done, and then discussed the bridge ratings on the bridge north of Liberty. And then I'm working on some infrastructure outreach sessions. So I'm working on the BIP and the RAISE grant. The BIP is a grant for bridges that will be looking at the two east of DeWitt, the Claytonia, the bus, and the Blue Springs Bridge. And then the RAISE grant would consist of the DeWitt to Claytonia Road with those three bridges, and then Hickory and paving it. So one of the things with the RAISE grant that they had asked for last time was to have more community outreach. So I'm hosting five different outreach sessions where I'm going to have a survey for people to take there. And so we need people to show up to those things and let us know, like, how many miles you saved. Do you travel those roads? Do you think it'd be safer if we replace those things, so that we can use that data and bring those numbers in for our application and make it better? So we will have our first one is tonight in Blue Springs. That is for the BIP grant for the bridge replacement of the Blue Springs Bridge. It is at the Blue Springs City Hall at 6:30. Then we have one at Tri-County School on November 20th at 6:30. The DeWitt Community Center on November 29th at 6:30. The Claytonia Community Center on November 30th at 6:30. And then the last one will be at the Pickerel Community Center on December 5th at 6:30. So you can make it to one, make it to two, bring your neighbor. We need the numbers for people to show up and take that survey and have input. And then if anybody would be willing at the end to write a support letter while you're there.
Additional road and bridge, or?
That was it.
For these outreach meetings, Emily, do you need residents that are in that voting district of each of those locations, or is it just Gage County residents overall?
Any residents. Actually, my survey, so like the first question is, are you from like Jefferson, Saline, or Gage, or other? I had some people doing, you know, sample ones, you know, so you could even fill in other and say the moon. But all of those things are, we need it from different counties. We need the outreach from different counties. I chose DeWitt, Tri-County, and Claytonia for the reason that they're in three different counties. So anybody that travels those roads, anybody that uses those bridges, even if they're from Lancaster or whatever, if they think that they would use those, or the improving them would benefit their daily travel or even freight traffic, those are the people that I'd like to have attend.
And where did you say the one tonight was at? Blue Springs.
Blue Springs. Blue Springs at City Hall, 6:30. This little flyer was specifically for Rays, so Blue Springs isn't on that one because it's for BIP. BIP does not need as much of the community outreach, but I'm including it for data.
Would you mind listing which projects are involved in all of these?
Which projects?
What all is being considered that you need the outreach for?
So for the bridges, and they're we're overlapping because it's highly unlikely that we'll get selected on both. I talked to NDOT on that, but the BIP has 5 bridges. So the 2 east of DeWitt, the Claytonia, the bus, and the Blue Springs Bridge. They're all rated bridges, which should be avoided by heavy truck traffic. So we're trying to get those to unrated bridges. And then the RAIS grant would then be the 2 DeWitt bridges, the Claytonia Bridge, repaving the Claytonia to DeWitt Road, and then paving the Hickory Road. The last 4 miles.
East of 134.
Which are all projects that a lot of people in the county have communicated their wanting of this to be done. This is a good opportunity, what you're putting out here for people to help Gage County Board in getting these projects done. So hopefully people recognize that and they show up. We see how people, when they're emotionally connected to things, how they show up to things. It'd be nice to see some of that loyalty and whatever expressed and shown with these projects to help get these done through grant money, which keeps our land taxes down in this county.
And just to give an idea on reference on costs, to like as for helping the county, these are 80-20 grants. So, for example, the RAISE grant last year with putting that one in, it was about $24 million to do that project. Bridges cost anywhere from $1 to $3 million to replace. So by applying for these grants, we can save quite a bit.
Do you have any update on Congressman Smith's grant, because I was just thinking the Odell Blacktop is on that grant.
Yes, the Congressman Smith's grant, we're just waiting. It needs to be voted on. It was kind of held up with the election of the new speaker. We are through committee, and so far it's looking like they're funding that one completely, but we'll have to see if we're through the final process. But that would be a mill overlay for approximately 18 miles. That's the Odell South and Christ Lutheran.
So two ends of the county there.
Yeah.
Be another really nice one to get.
They were done a long time ago.
Emily spearheaded these grant processes herself in lack of a grant writer. She has taken that on. Christ Lutheran and Odell, I think those were probably done in the early 2000s.
Late 90s or early 2000s.
They are 20 and 21, okay. I think, years.
I was on the board when they did down the last time. So
it's probably time again, but all these things cost money. Everything we can get grant money for makes a big difference on our end. Thank you very much, Ms. Axby.
Have you traveled Rockford Blacktop lately?
Yes.
Bad.
It looks really good compared to the Burchard Road NRD road. They did just redo that last year, though. I don't know if we're getting any closer with the state on that. We can ask Mr. Kunke. Mr. Engel had asked them to do it but had not followed through on the proper steps. So as we all thought, we were in a 5 or 10 year waiting period. We were in a not started period, so we are moving forward with that, and hopefully Rockford Road will be redone. Great entrance to into our next quick topic of discussion. Mr. Kunke called me yesterday. The bridge to nowhere on the state line. Marshall County has decided to move forward with that. They've awarded it to Norfolk Steel. And they text Mr. Kunke. They assume that Gage County will pay half. I'm under the assumption that they assume wrong, as our attorney told us that we can't do anything like that without bidding it out, or at least attempting to bid it out.
Can I interrupt, Eric?
Absolutely.
I don't know how we can participate at all. I mean, you know, we had discussed about, you know, being willing to pay for our half of what we thought the project should be, but I don't think we can participate at all because they're willing to go forward without taking any legal bids. We can't even participate, period.
It doesn't look that way, and so there may be some conflict there. We of course did come up with multiple different ways. We actually paid for the engineering to come up with some different options. None of those were considered, it doesn't look like. And like I said, the attorney's office said without bidding this out, we aren't even able to participate. As we do that with other counties, there's an open bid letting. Anyone can participate. Anyone can attempt to do the work. And it's open and fair. This is just a selected contractor, and they moved forward with that, which is we don't do business like that legally in Nebraska. We can't. So just a heads up, there may be some conflict there. We do want to work back and forth with Marshall County and our other surrounding counties, but this one, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of, I don't know what the right word would even be. Yeah, cooperation, that's a great way to say it.
I was just going to say, following what Gary said, I think it's extremely disappointing because we were very open about that conversation. We did spend money on giving an option that I think was not only better long-term, but half the cost. And so if they're going to move forward with selecting somebody, we can't participate. I just want to make sure we're clear that that wasn't necessarily our choice.
They just kicked us out of it.
And
it's disappointing because I feel like this is a relationship that we should try and keep as a good relationship, and I feel like that we have, other than, we've had plenty of discussion here, which is healthy. They painted us into a corner here where they're more or less saying, we're going to do this, you're either in or you're out. Well, we don't have a choice, we're out. Very unfortunate.
Our interlocal agreement with Marshall is from 1996. Mark's been working on another interlocal that may or may not even be looked at. We'll see what happens, but it spells out who's going to be responsible for drainage structures, alternating miles, where. Item 2, if a project is to cost in excess of $10,000, the project may only proceed if a written agreement is executed between both Marshall and Gage County Board, setting forth their respective responsibilities and costs. That's fairly straightforward. I mean, this is a pretty simple agreement.
Has there been a breakdown in communications? Because this just doesn't seem logical.
Mark had just talked to him 2 weeks ago, two to three weeks ago.
A couple days after we...
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Because we didn't tell him no. We just said we had to follow our laws. And then that's the last we heard of him.
It would have been a couple days after we had the conference call with him. You had stated you were going to call Mr. Craig, and then you were off to NIRMA, I believe, and he happened to call me, I think, that Friday, and we discussed it. The way I stated to him was Gage County wanted to participate, but we wanted to do it the correct way, and we were still looking into that with the county attorney, and that was the last conversation I had with him.
And we indicated a willingness to work with them, provided we follow our laws, and that our preference was the tubes,
yep,
which would be half the price. They indicated they wanted to use a bridge because that's what they like. Well, to me, it's like, you know, this is one time when you're working with an out-of-state, you know, just bite the bullet, put the tubes in, take the money that we agreed to do. That's one bridge that they'd like to have rather than tubes. Well, cooperate. You know, that's the best interest for their taxpayers.
A bridge that replaces a bridge that's still
functional
and approved. We've got a lot of bridges that we need to replace still.
I guess I...
that are actually used.
Well,
I'd like to ask them, why would you do this?
You mentioned how they said that they're in the business of replacing bridges, and they want to replace this bridge with a bridge. But then in the same sentence, they also said that we try to get rid of bridges and go to culverts too. So I don't know.
They're wanting our assistance. So one time, just go with what you can get to help your taxpayers and solve the problem.
When we're working with other governmental agencies, I mean, it's just like us, a bunch of different opinions. There's a lot of give and take. There didn't seem to be any give or take here. It was just, here's what we're doing.
We build bridges is what he said.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I look for them, and they've indicated they want us to share in half the bridge.
I'd like a puppy.
Yeah.
What kind would you like, Eric?
Now, if they'd come out and said, we're just going to build the bridge, we're not going to trouble with Gage County, well, okay. But they're still expecting us to pay for half the bridge.
And, I mean, some of the options we offered and came up with, paid for the design on, cost about half of what the bridge cost. So that's the other side of it. Some of the options were even less. The low water crossing for the occasional input-output of grain. Mr. Craig actually indicated to me that they were going to build a low water crossing so that there could be immediate usage for grain coming in and out of that. Another piece of this, as our county attorney told us, this is a civil dispute. There's actually, there are easements filed already. So all these issues are resolved ahead of time, but because of a civil dispute now, it's being pushed on to the municipalities to change things. Mr. Lytle.
The other thing that wasn't lost on me when we talked to them this last time also was they did bring up the fact that we have tubes on all of our roads that we handle. They have bridges on all the roads that we are in agreement with them. And they did make some mention about another bridge or something that was going to be coming up soon also. So if you go this direction this time, you're going to be looked to do the same thing again. That wasn't lost on me either. I mean, they're gonna come calling again.
Oh, absolutely.
You mentioned the easement, and the way I recall them is that their priority is not the easement. Their consideration is not for the easement, but for the individual that lives there and owns a home. That's their priority and their reasoning behind it.
I guess I don't remember that. They told me each time it was about the grain coming in and out and not access to the fields.
Well, maybe I got it wrong.
Because structurally the bridge is fine.
Yeah.
Otherwise.
Perhaps it was a secondary reason. It was my mind that the primary reason was because of the
On the phone, it was about in and out of ag product. And they weren't aware that there was even an easement. Mr. Conkey provided those easements to them, and then that didn't get brought up again then after that.
That was quite some time.
But then it was for grain out of Nebraska and not Kansas, too, could use that easement.
That was something that someone tried to add to that, which is not in that easement. Something else people need to realize, when you make an easement, you can't add conditions later unless both parties agree. When there's an easement, it's an easement. It's filed.
Marshall County representatives came here to a meeting once, correct? That's the way I remember.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Should we offer to go to one of their meetings, since they're expecting us to pay for half of this, and ask what, why, or, you know, why wouldn't they listen to our, I mean, just to be open about this and make sure communications is.
I don't know if there's any reason to. They were on the phone with us this last, not last meeting, two meetings ago.
Something like that.
And we were pretty straightforward with them. There wasn't any ambiguity there that we never once said we were going to do this. We actually said we can't do this in the current state.
I think Amanda's looking for things to do. I think legal representation.
Yeah.
Right. Duly noted.
I don't know. There wasn't any miscommunication here. It was we didn't give them the answer they wanted, so they're just going to move forward.
It seems irresponsible to proceed the way they are and ask us or expect us to pay for it, and we're going to end up in legal proceedings.
Well, with the civil dispute with the access for the grain, that's where it began. Then they tried to turn it into there may be a house that could be built sometime during the future, hypothetically. Then we found out that entire area is in floodplain.
There still could be a house built with it doing the right stuff.
Yeah,
depending as long, you know, he's going to spend some money to get the floodplain permits, engineer reports, so on and so forth. But there is a possibility of that.
How'd they get that house moved in after they bought the property with that bridge?
Probably because they didn't have any funding. Well,
they went across the
they might have didn't.
They went across the landowner.
They probably went from the north. The easement.
Yeah.
How long after that person purchased that property was that bridge installed?
Negative 40-some-odd years.
Well, the bridge was there 40-some years before the person put the house in.
At least.
There was a house there before. It's an old farmstead.
So you'd think they would have prior knowledge that bridge is the way it is before they purchased that property?
I'm not the assessor, so I don't know.
I mean, I'm not a detective, but
you can play one on TV.
The thing is, it may be beside the point. It's interesting, the history and the thought behind this. But the main issue is to cooperate with Marshall County, like our agreement says we will, in our personal opinions and the history and the location and all this, it is interesting. And I have my personal opinion on what I would do if I was in that situation. But anyway, that doesn't matter. We did follow what our MOU says, and Kansas has chose not to give us an opportunity to follow our state laws, which restricts us from, prevents us from participating. Simple as that.
We just have to wait and see what the outcome's going to be.
Yeah, and I fear that we'll end up in legal proceedings. I guess that's why the way I would handle this personally would be to go and approach the board and say, what the heck are you doing? You just closed the gate on us and still expect us to pay. Perhaps it will avoid legal proceedings. Anytime you can do that, it's worth it.
Anything else for Roden Bridge?
I got nothing.
All right. With that, we'll move on to Sheriff Gustafson's presentation of the annual statistics report, October 22 through September 23.
You can read. I'm impressed. That's good.
I almost didn't get through that one.
I'm sure it's
nice to see you.
Go through his report first. You got to get back to jail. So.
Yeah, good morning to the board.
Morning.
Morning.
I think the sheriff may have gave you a statistic annual report there. You can see on the report it goes back 4 years, but I'm just going to verbally go through from last year to just try to get this quickly done for you. So we got, starting with the statistics on bookings, males from last year, 618 to 659, females, 224 to 272, with the total bookings from 842 up to 931. Going into charges statistics, the felonies were 587 to 374, misdemeanors 987 to 432, and other charges, which is generally infractions and alcohol-related, which was 422 to 251. The arresting agency statistics, the sheriff's office had 535 to 589. Beatrice Police Department, 267 to 252. Weimar Police, 9 to 4. Nebraska State Patrol, 19 to 29. And so total arrest date from agencies was 930 to 874. Our ADP from last year was 30, and it did drop down to 29 to this year. Total transport miles last year was 30,863 to 35,780. And then when it comes to money income usage, the total income with our fingerprints last year was 1,565. This year was 2,397.50. Phone usage was 1,569.73 to 2,738.79. And commissary income was 3,352.06 to 2,922.73. And then our income from visitation, additional visitation, was $15 to $70. Total income last year is $6,501.79 to $8,120.02. So statistics for outside holding last year approximately was $174,366.65. This year was $177,893.90. Getting to the statistics for medical categories, looks like our non-contractual was $51,850.33 to $73,968.74. The insurance company that we work with, the Critical Care Savings, the CRS, we were able to save this year was $72,048.46. Vision was zero last year, zero this year. Dental spent last year was $356.32. This year was $1,586.19. And medical for outside hold was $4,981.47. This year, $1,594.01. Total medical for last year is $57,188.12. This year's was $77,148.94. So if you have any questions on that, I'll try to answer for you, or if you have anything else that you guys might want to mention.
Gus and I were sidebarring about the CRS, and we just explained to the board what that savings is.
Yeah, so this company that we use, they're actually very beneficial for us in a few different ways. Every bill that we get through medical, it essentially goes to this company first. They have a few individuals that we work with on a weekly basis. And what they do, they process all of it for us to where essentially we're just getting back one specific bill after it goes to Medicaid and their insurance, which helps us if they have like what's called catastrophic insurance, to where if you have a bill, even after Medicaid, it reaches over $10,000, which unfortunately does happen, then that steps in and we wouldn't pay more than $10,000. So that there alone is pretty. We pay, I think, roughly, if I remember right, it's somewhere between $10,000 to $12,000 a year for it. So in the long run, we're actually saving quite a bit of money. And it also helps with the process of the whole claim through the insurance companies and making sure the bills are getting done properly and to the right people.
We had an issue with that just a few years ago where we were having problems trying to get stuff filed with Medicaid and where is it supposed to go. That's a specialty trade in itself, and this takes care of all
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a huge benefit for sure, and it creates less of a headache for several people in the county. In the long run, like I said, money-wise, just alone, it's worth it. But it also just takes an easement off of, you know, the rest of the employees, too.
Transport vans, how are they holding up, everything?
So the two transport vans we have, the Chevy, that we've had since 2015, I think it's at about approximately 220,000 miles. I don't know if you guys recall, we did have to replace a transmission on that. It got stranded up north for us maybe 6 months ago, roughly. And so Other than that, we've been pretty lucky. I will say lucky is kind of what it is. We treat them like babies, but you know, when you start hitting 200 plus thousand, that's where you're kind of. I think the plan is to keep that Chevy going as long as we can, and maybe even do a motor replacement as needed, because the cost of repairing or replacing the cells and doing all the equipment exchange, it would actually probably cost a lot more to do that than what it is to kind of, I want to say Band-Aid it, because it's still in really good shape, that Chevy is. The Ford Transit van, we got that in 2019. I think that has approximately 44,000 miles roughly around there. We have had no issues really with that, just a couple little recall things, I think, over the years, but didn't cost the county any money. The Ford's decent. We like to insert better. I would say the Chevy tends to be a little bit more comfortable of a ride, but that's not besides the point. But yeah, other than that, they're doing well. We have that Chevy Impala that we use for jail school, any schooling, and then if we just need it for any reason. That is actually going in the shop on Friday, but just for a small dual thermostat issue on the inside. It's not going to heat on the driver's side, but it is on the passenger. So that shouldn't be much of an issue there, cost-wise.
Any updates you want to give on Prohaska? Anything you've been doing with your...
Oh, yep. As you know, we're going through the process for that needs assessment, and Kurt, through that company, has been reaching out to me once every couple of weeks. I've been supplying him with the information he needs, and some of it's pretty... it's pretty detailed, so it takes a little while to get some of that done. But he's definitely very detailed. I would say he's very professional. I think he's probably going to do a very good job for us. And we're just working together to try to make things happen, meet some goals, and see where it goes. So, but, yeah, we're definitely moving along. It's a little slower than we probably want it to be. But, you know, if you want things done right, and I'm sure he's a busy man too, so...
So we're thinking there. When we'll have that?
He has not given me a time. I have some more information I need to get to him, more detailed statistics, that it just takes time to go through that. But our next conversation that I have with him, I definitely can ask him, you know, what he's thinking on time frame.
Do you think we need to?
I don't know. He hasn't suggested anything about an update meeting.
He has not, and that's something I could bring up to him.
Okay.
You know, hey, what are we looking at for, you know, a finish date, or maybe if we could have a status meeting of some sort with him, I'm sure he'd be willing to.
That wouldn't be bad if he would be willing to do that. That's
it'd be good for us.
Yeah, and I'm sure it would be great for us, and then maybe we could supply him with more information when several of us are together. You always get a little bit more information out there. And I could email him. I can email him, ask him if that's something he's willing to do, and maybe get a couple of dates from him, and then get it to you guys.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
Probably just have the dates next two, three times on board meeting, probably the dates, wouldn't it?
I don't know if you want to do it during...
Or just jail committee. I mean, that's...
Maybe a meeting like we had last time, down in the sheriff's office.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Thanks, Trevor.
Yep, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Okay, George. All right, Sergeant Davidson is tied up in court, so I will do his report here for you. We had 613 inmates were brought from the jail to court. 9,358 patrons were screened at the screening station. Found 99 knives, 14 canisters of pepper spray, and 6 9mm rounds were found during screening. 35 people were remanded into custody. 47 people arrested on outstanding warrants. Seven civil process papers were served. We had 13 arrest citations for driving on suspension, one resisting arrest, one methamphetamine arrest, one marijuana citation, one fake driver's license citation as well. Had one 9mm round was found behind a sign in the elevator. One knife was found in a flower pot, and one shotgun shell was found near the generator. 5 individuals appeared in court under influence, responded to a disturbance outside the courthouse, and had to have 2 disruptive inmates removed. They had 2 fire alarm tests, trained jail staff on emergency procedures, and 2 weeks in July, the courtroom 2 weeks in July, the courtroom were shut down for audio updates. August 17th, 23, Zoom meetings for inmates began, cutting a personal appearance in about half.
These people that were arrested for outstanding warrants, was that?
That's him.
By going through there?
Yep. Ah. Yeah, sometimes he gets more arrests in a week than we do on the road. It's just amazing. That's the value to having those systems, those setups. Okay, Sheriff's Office reports. We had 6,623 versus 6,596 on calls for service. We had 287 last year compared to 298 this year, four accidents. Citations were 196 last year, 255 this year. Warnings were 503 to 765. Arrests were 842 to 931. Burglary and theft was 84 last year, 86 this year. Loss was 168, 251, 20 last year. This year, 367, 4405. Those numbers jump because if we'll have some scams, either by the phone, we've had two or three vehicles totally stolen. And so that adds up pretty quick for people. Recovered was 37,934.49, and this year is 2,937.
Why so little on anything recovered?
Just the way it is. I mean, it might not be in the area. It's kind of gone. We had the one vehicle. He spent $35,000 on a vehicle. It was a really good deal. And after we get redoing title inspection, we have equipment. Now we're about, one of eight agencies in the state that do that with doing a beta test. And we could undercover it that was the titles changed, the VIN numbers were changed, and he was just out that money. So now that one got recovered because the insurance company stole it out in Houston, Texas. And they come and got it, but then he's just out. And so we have things like that happen that a lot of them are scams, and by the time they find out, that money can't get retrieved. It's gone anywhere in the world. So it's just tough to get it retrieved.
I know you hate it whenever I bring this up, but with all the extra citations and all this other stuff, our burglary and theft is way up. Could we focus more on the crime, the burglary and theft?
Well, how would you suggest we do that besides patrolling?
I don't do law enforcement, otherwise I would
tell you. There you go. Thank you for saying that on record. I understand what you're saying.
If I did, I would.
Yes, I understand that. But unfortunately, you have to have balance that. You still have to have patrolling going on for a deterrent. But that's just part of doing business. You know, sometimes you have a good year, sometimes not as good. Let's see. Paper served 700 last year to 658 this year. Warrant served 319 last year to 345 this year. Fees earned was 9,797.24 compared to 4,381.49. Mileage was 10,733.14 to 10,916.36, and that was miles earned on those fees. Copies was 21 compared to 5150 this year. Distress warrants collected in full with 3,546.12 last year, 1,746.23 this year. And no partial pays on those. Town inspection earned last year was 14,660. This year was 16,210. Patrol unit miles approximately was 248,981 last year compared to 257,776 this year. Monies for reimbursement and grants is 47,893.01 last year, 1,503.02 this year. Had, again, no meth labs. Drug violations, 47 last year, had 36 this year. Of course, reserves are out of the picture now. We had 808 billing checks last year, 602 this year. We had 11 doors open last year, 11 doors this year. And we had 36 search warrants last year and 37 this year.
Eric, you should run for sheriff next time.
I thought about that.
Walking tall, big stick, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Prepare yourself to run.
Yeah, it's interesting.
This is an inexact science, too. I mean, that's something we've talked about, lots of different things all the time, but... Yeah. It's not as straightforward as it seems like it could be at times.
It's unless you want to walk in those shoes and see how it works, because we have to
We have patrol. That's part of doing the business. Do the door checks. That all takes time. We will find open doors. Most of the times, they just probably forgot. Hopefully, you don't find many that they're broke into. But when you only have so many deputies to go 24/7, now if there's a theft, you can investigate it. And I have two investigators now, which has made a huge difference on a lot of things we're doing because they're kind of dedicated, unless they're helping out on the road. But a lot of it is just people having mindful that there are not a lot of honest people out there nowadays, and the scams are terrible. We try to constantly put out news releases on that, on scams that people try and they get some money on it, and I'll get calls from the family. Well, by then it's too late, and they can't get the money stopped. And so,
but that's in on the burglary theft.
That all includes into the loss, overall loss. Yeah. It's astounding, and that's one that we got called on. We keep trying to tell people, let us know about it. Maybe some won't do that even to us. We don't know. But
it's just
technology is killing us in law enforcement on that side of the coin as well because they got so many things they can do.
See that burglary number so high? It's terrible.
It is. Yep.
Any questions?
Anything else?
Sheriff.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gus.
Thanks, Sheriff. Good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
That brings us to the end of the agenda.
We've moved to place Gus's annual statistics report on file.
Second.
Moved by Lionel, second by Schwavely. Any discussion? Yeah. Please vote. 5 in favor. Motion carries.
Team,
you're not participating?
I am participating. Brings us to the end of the agenda. Is there any other items the board would like to bring up? Anything else for the good of the order? We'll put out one more time. If you would like to reconsider a motion from the former meeting, this would be the time.
Okay. Closed session.
Okay. Thanks, Sheriff.
Shouldn't take long.
Anything else from the board?
Eric, I'll just ask, could I have permission to speak with Marshall County representatives, or is that something?
You can talk with them. You probably can't represent the board for anything, but
you could just
reiterate what we've already told them again.
I wouldn't make any commitments for the board. I would just state my opinion like I did here and why.
I have noted that I can reach out to the Marshall County, Kansas Attorney's Office.
That'd be great.
Just to note our concerns, and we'd like to avoid any kind of legal proceedings going forward and our difficulty with participating if we don't have the opportunity to bid it out, and would they reconsider it? I can at least do that. I wasn't trying to be flippant earlier. I was just like, sure.
That would probably be a better route for us, Don, unless you'd
really like to talk to him. No, that's fine. I'm satisfied with that.
And Mr. Craig did talk to Mr. Conkey also again, and he reiterated everything. But if you do that, that'd be great.
I've got a note for it.
Does that suffice?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Anything else before we go into closed session for law enforcement? If not, we will go into. I'd ask for a motion to go into closed session at 9:48, necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. For law enforcement. Moved by Dorn, second by Schwavely. Please vote. 5 in favor. We're in closed session.
What time?
Too late.
No, it's too late.
Everyone
vote. Ow, that was my eye. We have a motion by Schwavely, second by Dorn, to come out of closed session at 10:35 on the clock.
On video, can't prove it wasn't.
Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries.
Yep.
Anything else?
Finish this story.
We're adjourned at 10:35.
Yeah. This